Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. It's week four of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. I am Kyle Borgannoni and I am joined, as always, wait, not Betts, not Jason. It's an OG. It's Mike Wright.
I created this podcast, Kyle. From the ashes, it will rise again.
I thought you were about to say, and I will burn it to the ground if I need to.
I will. You've been around me long enough to know that I will destroy what I've created.
We had to call in corporate, or as I like to call Mike here, HR.
Yeah, that is. Many people don't know this. This is actually true. I have dubbed myself HR because I am the most unpleasant to talk to. So we figured it will cut down on the complaints if they know they have to sit down with me.
Yeah, I try to give you really obscure questions sometimes, or sometimes it shows up in our Slack chat of just if there's anything in society that we can somehow relate to our company, I ask you the question, hey, HR, what should we do?
Yes, and I've had to field many, do you think I'm attractive, yes, no, maybes.
Oh, my God.
I told you it was a problem bringing me on this podcast.
Now, I think a lot of listeners maybe are new to Fantasy Footballers DFS. They've been listening to the main show, but they need to know the story that you were the one that created this. You hosted this podcast for years, and then, yeah, we had to remove you to let me in.
That is, yes, that's how it went. Yeah, I mean, what year? We're in year, like, five?
Five, maybe six.
Of this podcast. In the first couple years I hosted that with a couple other fellers. Tried some different lineups, and it got to the point of everything else we were doing at Footballers HQ. It was me begging, please, guys, I can't keep doing this every week. It was so many shows. So I handed it off. The show is in much better hands, much sharper people running things now.
Oh, I heard it was because they wanted more youth for the show.
We did need that. That's why I needed out, because I'm old, man. I'm tired.
No, we're glad you're with us. We're going to be going over the week four main slate, talk about our cash picks, some games, including, I know one, the Baltimore-Buffalo game that you are...
Oh, brother.
I mean, that's going to be the game that people are stacking. The question is, how do you do it differently this week? So we'll talk about that, talk about some props, and hit a couple of mailbag questions. But if you want to get all of our picks, cash picks, DFS, whatever, every single part of it, we get to get that in the DFS Pass. You can go to dfspass.com. Use the promo code DFSPOD. Save yourself 10%. And every single day we're working on that. We have a roster percentage report that's out today as you're listening to it. So make sure you check that out at dfspass.com. But Mike,
I say it's the Fantasy Faceoff other on the flagship podcast. That's how I dominate, because I don't like. I mean, I'm good at fantasy football. I consider myself good at DFS, but it's not my full-time thing. It requires a little bit of a different brainwave, a different way of looking at games. And you have bets. Like, you're my secret sauce. I don't know what the other clowns on the podcast are doing. That's why I kick their butts all the time.
It is great. I know on usually Wednesday or Thursday, you guys are actually using the DFS pass. You're looking at the different
that
picks.
Is, and that is not just a line. That is 100% fact.
So you can go to dfspass.com, but let's talk about our cash picks.
Straight cash, homie.
Did you forget about some of these drops that it's been a while?
It has been a while since I've heard some of these things that I created, Kyle.
And we happily use it on this podcast, and we usually give an ode to Randy Moss because he's...
Yes, he was the genesis of Straight Cash, homie.
So let's talk about some of the picks this week. Jason even got to add some of these, so he's doing something for this podcast. But
don't tell people that.
He didn't really want to show up. I thought he cared about the people, but maybe I think what he cared about more was bets going to Vermont and figuring out the snow model than anything else. Because I saw him tweet today, and that's it. So is that all he cares about?
Probably, because he has Derrick Henry on his league of record. Do we have an update on the snow model?
Apparently, it's not snowing right now.
That's not good.
It's not good, and Betts is driving there as we speak when we're recording this. But let's talk about our quarterback picks. It's really simple this week, and I feel like a broken record where Betts and I have said the same thing the last couple of weeks. You pay up for Lamar, you pay up for Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, and that's basically it. There's only really one punt play that I'm kind of interested this week if you want to play Marcus Mariota at home against Cleveland. But do you have a certain lean in your cash lineup?
I mean, I'm probably going Josh Allen. Because I want to get a stack out of that action there. And it's Josh Allen. Okay, I'm going to pay down for Gabe Davis at 6,600. But now we don't even know if Gabe Davis is playing. So that could shift things around to maybe you're going, Lamar and Bateman or something like that. But it's the weapons for Allen are going to be far more reliable. And meanwhile, if you're going to go Lamar, doing a Lamar stack with Mark Andrews is what, like 85% of your budget. So it's incredibly difficult that this week to go that way.
Yeah, we're going to highlight that game and just talk about how you can get different in a tournament. But Josh Allen's in my lineup right now. He's too safe. Last week, 60 plus pass attempts. And really, it's like he disappointed, but he still got 30 DraftKings points. So I feel like there's more in store. Baltimore's giving up, more yards than anybody else. The highest expected points per pass attempt. Like, I want to play people against the Baltimore Ravens and has the highest total. So I would just say don't overthink it on FanDuel. Josh Allen is by far, I think, the best play at 8.9. So, don't mess around with quarterback.
I totally agree.
At running back, I thought I was going to come on here and say how much I want to play CMC in a bounce back spot against your Cardinals. So you and I, we co-manage a team in the league of record. We have CMC on that team. So how are you feeling about CMC?
Concerned now. We have had we're into week four, and we're already on our third scare on Christian McCaffrey being on the injury report throughout the week. This one feels a bit more serious as he was not spotted on Thursday, which is when we're recording this. So my gut is he practices tomorrow limited and then he plays. But the hard part with Christian McCaffrey, the matchup is fantastic. The Cardinals are garbage, hot garbage. They're using Christian McCaffrey like he is Derrick Henry. They gave him 25 carries last week and just a handful of targets. It's infuriating. The guy who 2 years now has missed time basically the whole year because he got hurt. And you're like, well, how do we help his workload out? I don't know. Let's give him the way harder touches, the more physically demanding ones, and not the ones that bring, highlight his true skill set. So Matt Rhule he's dead to me. This guy is a clown.
I think that if there's one person I've trashed more on this podcast the last couple of weeks, it's Ben McAdoo.
Sure. Yeah. Him and Matt Rhule, same.
They can hang out together and they can leave the NFL. Same with Baker, too. And at this point, though, if CMC plays at 8.7, I think it's palatable. I think we're waiting for an eruption. So,
Are you sure you want to pay up for that when in a PPR, like on DraftKings, and you're not actually getting the receptions? Or is just the matchup against the Cardinals is just too enticing?
That's basically it.
Okay.
When it's a defense that's giving up the most yards per play, I'm expecting McCaffrey, who's been consistent. Okay, I think people are disappointed for where he was in redraft, but I think an explosion's coming. Maybe it's better in GPP. Maybe this injury news will push his roster percentage down. I think Saquon's probably the best of the studs this week at home against Chicago at 8K. I think if you want to pay up, that's where you want to go. But the bigger question in that same game, what do we do with David Montgomery or Khalil Herbert? If you knew that Montgomery was out, is Herbert in your lineup at 5.7?
Yes, yeah, for sure. If Montgomery is out, then Herbert isn't. He is a bona fide stud. Like, it will be, at this point, it will be surprising to me if Montgomery comes back and gets everything. That it will be madness to me. This isn't Matt Nagy. This isn't the David Montgomery stan. It's a new coaching staff, and I'm not saying that Khalil Herbert's better than Montgomery. They're both excellent. And when you have two excellent running backs like the Cleveland Browns, you figure out how to get both of them on the field so you don't overwork the other person, because you have someone who's so good to come in. It's just a real quick aside, because I don't know the format here. I'm just going to throw some things out. So we're going to test how your podcasting prowess. So Christian McCaffrey, like I said, being used very similar to Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb, who is at 7,900 on DraftKings against your Atlanta Falcons, who have shown some fight, but they're still the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, if your guy's not going to catch passes, why not save, $800 and go down to Nick Chubb, who's not on the injury report?
No, I agree. I love Nick Chubb. I love the matchup. I think it's tough because I know he's splitting work with Kareem Hunt, who's seen 15-plus opportunities every week. I kind of like Kareem Hunt at 6,000, especially on FanDuel at 6,100. So, yeah, I can't argue against Nick Chubb as the RB1 in fantasy right now. I can't argue against him. I think the way that people are going to construct their lineups this week is if Montgomery's out, they're probably going to take Herbert, and they're going to take our boy Jay Willie.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a lot of constructions where they're paying down there, and let's say you're paying up for Diggs or Mark Andrews. Do you think that's the route to go in terms of just high floor for cash?
If you're in cash and you just have to beat, half of the people or whatever, that's the route to go. You don't have to win a GPP with your cash lineup, people. There's a reason that the studs are the studs, and get them in there and take your winnings.
If Betts were here, he would yell at me and say, I don't care about roster percentage and cash. Play the best plays.
Yes.
And in terms of points per dollar, you can't really argue with Jay Willie at 6.1 or Khalil Herbert, who, hey, people don't know this, but you are a big Khalil Herbert fan.
Oh, there it is.
I knew.
Yes. Khalil Herbert was like my dark horse from that draft class, and then his draft capital sucked, but this is now multiple years in a row. I think we're going to have to start modifying the historical look at where running backs are drafted, because we're having more hit rates later on in the draft than we have had before.
Usually I'm super, that's all my Damien Pierce, hate was
day three.
Yeah, it's just, and now we're going to have to shift that because we're not going to get as many first round running backs.
Is it like a fourth rounder is now a third? How we used to view a third rounder, they're like, oh, it's a day two pick. It's still high capital. Fourth rounders might have to sneak into that conversation.
And what's the difference between being you're the 100th pick or you're Amon Ra? You're like right after that in the fourth round. That's all that matters. I'll throw out one more name. Maybe it's more of a GPP play, but his price is so juicy. It's Rashad Penny at 4.9. I love his matchup. Okay. We'll talk about that game, but I think that this is a blow-up spot for him. And maybe it's more of, I want to play him in tournament lineups against people as leverage that have Jay Willie in their lineup. So I just wanted to point out his price, because that is egregiously low for a player who I think is going to get 60%+ of the snaps.
Sure. And I'll throw one more name out, because this is to monitor. Again, we're Thursday, but Cordero Patterson not practicing today. Tyler Algier would be last man up. So this isn't like a start your stud situation, but at 4,500, if Patterson's out, Algier is going to see at least 12-plus opportunities in that offense against the Browns, who their defense has, number one, not been great. They're probably without Myles Garrett, who was in the car accident. So he's another name that you can look at to save some cash at running back.
No, that's that'll end up being the free square if Patterson is out. Sure. So just monitor that situation. At wide receiver, if you knew that Gabe Davis is out, are you stacking him, Allen and Diggs?
How do you not put Stephon Diggs in there? What's his price at? I don't have it right in front of me.
$8,400 on DraftKings.
I mean, that's... That's tough to go 84 for the Stallion, 84 for Stephon Diggs, and then try and build your lineup around that. But, I mean, I guess Jamal Williams, perhaps if Algier becomes a free square. Like, there's some value out there. And I think there's even some value at the wide receiver position that could let you do that. But, I mean, you're going to be scrubbing it.
So, what about Isaiah McKenzie in that same game? If you knew that Davis was out at 5,100, is that something you're interested in instead of Diggs?
So I'm going to pull up his numbers really quick, because I don't think that he was actually on the field way more. Yet he went up to 51% of the snaps.
He's frustrating.
Get it. The targets shot up to 9, but that's when you're 44% of the snaps, 3 targets, 46%, 3 targets, 51%, 9 targets. That could just be a factor of how Miami's defense was playing against the Buffalo Bills. It wasn't a huge surge of playing time for him. He's still going to be splitting with Crowder. So I don't mind taking the shot on it. I think, though, that in cash, I don't think that's where I'm trying to save.
Let me give you some names that are on the cheaper end, because I think that's what people are going to have to think about. Like, okay, there's some place on my roster that I'm going to have to punt. And this week, I don't love the punt tight end. So usually there's one wide receiver that we like as the cheapie. So Richie James at 4K for the Giants is pretty solid. I don't think it's a good projection, but his teammate David Sills is the Stone Men at 3K. So are you playing a Giants wide receiver?
Oh, the Stone Men, you say?
I said, that's tempting.
Yeah, I could be talked into that. The 4K, probably not. Like, because meanwhile, you got the breakout rookie from last week, Romeo Doubs, sitting at 4,500. I know 500 here or there, it does matter when you're trying to fit everything into your lineup, but I think I would prefer to find a way to get Doubs in over Richie James.
All right, there's a bunch in the kind of the 6K range that I'm really interested this week. Deontay Johnson, I think, is a cash play any week because he's going to see 12 targets. Who knows how many yards, but let's say you got at 6K, let's say
6K,
you got...
6K, you say, huh?
Let's say if he was 6 for 70.
Yeah, I'll take that.
What if it was like 9 for 90, though?
That's, I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but that sounds like more. Is there a trick in there that I'm not hearing?
No. It's just with Deontay Johnson, he's basically going to give you whatever his receptions are, just times it by 10. That's his yards. It's kind of how he works.
Oh, yeah. See, the Hollywood Brown, the 14 for 140.
Exactly. Cortland Sutton. I know I just said his name.
Yeah. Careful. Careful.
He's in my cash lineup right now on FanDuel. I love his price at 6.8. Everything about Cortland Sutton, I know we're going to talk about a little bit later in our prop section, but I think he's at that right price point where you can get him in cash. I think he's due for a touchdown. I'm assuming Cortland Sutton's one of your dudes this week.
Cortland Sutton is, in fact, I think he's 200 cheaper than Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis on DK is 6,600, which I soup's juicy, but he's Gabe Davis. Like, he is. Where are you with Gabe Davis, the player? Because I'll let you start. I don't want to infect you with my thoughts.
I'll just say this: I was surprised that he came back off injury, and then saw a ridiculous amount of snaps, way more than Stephon Diggs, was at 96%.
But Stephon Diggs was struggling in the Miami Heat. I don't know if he...
Cramps, right?
And he said he was getting dub IV'd up. Both arms. Have you ever heard of that? Just sitting there getting juiced up? Double IVs?
I haven't done it yet, but I should ask the man.
I'm looking into it. I mean, how hydrated would you feel after dub IVs?
He's just out on the field, just peeing nonstop because...
I don't think he would pee at all because of the sweat from the Miami Heat.
I
think that the Gabe Davis snaps were more a product of Stephon Diggs struggling with the Heat and needing some hydration.
I was ready to come on this podcast and say, I want to play Gabe Davis over Stephon Diggs. I don't think it's that hot of a take because of their price difference. And with the injury, I can't say that as of our recording. I want to play a Buffalo Bill pass catcher, I think, in cash. I'm just not sure where it is. But Cortland Sutton's in that medium zone where I'd rather have him right now over Davis. And then I got to throw out some other names. Romeo Doubs at 4.5, yep, I think is a good cash consideration. And I'm going to say the name, DJ Moore.
No.
DJ Moore is showing up.
In cash?
Have you seen what his price is?
Stoneman, DJ Moore.
That's what it feels like. He's 5.3. It's a disrespectful thing to this man. But
it is a disrespect to the man that we know and we love. It is not a disrespect to the statistics that DJ Moore is putting up.
What if I told you he's playing the Arizona Cardinals?
I know. Like, Baker's going to have a good game. Like, it's, I don't know. Look, I'm not recommending to play Baker in cash. Maybe a GPP stack of Baker.
Get
and,
weird.
And DJ Moore. You could do worse than that.
There's a couple other names on here. Jason added Pity City just because he wanted us to know that he was the one that said Pity City. Well done.
Do you get that drop on this show?
I don't.
Why not?
I have to ask Jeremy to add it because I feel like if there's a spot, it should be added.
I'll do it again then. We built this city. There you go. Me and Kyle, we're OG Pity City Bros.
And this song matters a lot to me. It's one of the most played songs of my entire life. You love it.
It's a sensational song. I more play it when I'm playing Settlers of Catan with my daughter. This is not a joke.
Went up a ton of points in my book. I mean, you were high up there, but this...
I appreciate that. But we play Settlers of Catan, and whenever someone does the first settlement into a city, you fire that bad boy up, and you're just dancing.
Well done. No, I respect that a lot. But Pity City at 7.2, you can play him. Tyler Lockett is somebody that Jason would play. I don't know if I could play him in cash, but Tyler Lockett has been awesome. I mean, it shocked us today.
Yes, it did.
You guys made me check the stat. I felt like a dummy, but I was like, yes, this is what he's done the last two weeks.
What was it, 11 targets, two straight weeks, nine catches both of those weeks. And the matchup with the Lions, soups juice, as the kids would say, something like that. And, like, wide receiver ones, I mean, like, this is a name that I think that fantasy football players need to get used to of Jeff Okuda, the cornerback. He's been doing fantastic for his assignments throughout at least the first 3 weeks of the season. And it's not an uncommon thing when a team has a really solid corner for the wide receiver, too, to just have a monster game. And Tyler Lockett is the perfect wide receiver too for any NFL team. So I do, cash is tougher, but I definitely have my eye on him this week.
Yeah, he'll likely see Amane Awarie, the Lions cornerback, and I think that's a pretty plus matchup. So you can go there. And then one more name on FanDuel. I got to say, my boy CeeDee Lamb seeing a 33% target share, and he received that Monday night price glitch where they set the salaries before the Monday night game.
You call it a glitch, huh?
It's a glitch.
It's a glitch in the Matrix?
I'm thinking of it more of like Wreck-It Ralph glitch.
Okay.
I'm a big Wreck-It Ralph guy.
Oh, really?
It's great.
Oh, no, you're getting no complaints over here. Wreck-It Ralph's one of my top animated films. There's so many good references in that movie.
And
that's what I'm all about. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, 6,700 against the Manders. He is at home with Cooper Rush. He is currently in my face-off lineup for tomorrow's podcast.
And they won't know this because this comes out on Friday.
Yeah, and they're not listening. They don't care.
No,
they don't listen to the sharps.
That's why they're not that smart.
Yes.
Tight end, we'll keep it short. It's pay up for Andrews, or for me, it's either David Njoku at 3.7.
Yeah, baby.
Or if Amon-Ra is out, it's TJ Hockenson.
Oh, gosh.
At 4.1, pretty juicy.
Yeah, because you have Swift likely to be out. Look, we're going to call that here.
Yeah.
Swift will be out. Amon-Ra still not practicing throughout the week. Trending out. DJ Chark, your boy, Kyle. DJ Chark, not practicing.
Formerly your boy.
Oh, yes, he was. And he really let me down. That's why I've shipped him off. He is now your boy.
Well, you know, he was my boy in best ball. And it's mostly because I get a lot. For some reason, people think I don't like Amon Ra. I don't
because
get that.
Because that is, just because it's like scientifically provable that you don't like Amon Ra St. Brown.
I just want to prove Betts wrong. And
I think he proved all of us wrong. Any doubt to Amon Ra St. Brown?
What was that dynasty trade today? The like, or dynasty value? Like he was going. As
oh
like
yeah,
a,
Ryan from DLF puts
Ryan
out.
McDaniel.
Yeah, McDowell.
McDowell.
Ryan McDowell
sorry.
Puts out. They do like incredible dynasty work, and they do, you know, mocks and try and get an ADP, which is tough. It's tough to get an ADP for dynasty, but currently it was the 105 or 104.
No,
even.
Thank you.
He's definitely in my first round right now.
I
think he's,
if it's full PPR,
he's a
stud. I could see that at the back of the first round. I will take the loss, by the way.
Yeah. So same here. I didn't think he could do it the way that he did at the end of the year, but we were wrong. I mean, look, iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't Amon Ra playing with Pity City at USC?
There you go.
I think he was. I don't know for sure.
No, he was playing there, and Juju was playing there too at one point.
Well, Juju was there. What? They weren't there together.
No, Drake
they?
London was there
London,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. I would,
London
I
was there. I think Juju was right before.
Ah, who cares? I don't know. This college stuff.
All right. So Hawkinson, Andrews, and Njoku are kind of our picks. At defense, I'll keep it simple. The Titans are our favorite value, the one that Betts likes the most too in this week.
They're in my lineup.
Oh, nice. 2.5.
You're just rattling off my lineup here. It's nice.
It's mostly an anti-Matt Ryan, which makes me sad, but I think it makes a lot of sense.
What happened? What? Like, Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson were not bad players last year.
No, you and I were pro-Pity City because of Matt Ryan saying
yes.
He's competent. We didn't say he was awesome. We said he was competent. He actually throws a lot of those Kirk Cousins fadeaways that just make me so mad. And then in the red zone, it's atrocious.
Yeah, I was just... Now we like Pity City in spite of Matt Ryan.
Yeah. So at defense, I think you can go a couple different directions, but I think Tennessee, Carolina's fine at 2.9. And then Dallas, if you want to pay up at 3.5 against your boy, Carson Wentz, you can go that direction.
Do you have any inkling to dance with the devil of the Houston Texans against the banged up Los Angeles Chargers? 2.4 at home. Herbert still hurt.
So on Tuesday,
Keenan might be back though.
Well, I love Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Keenan Allen is back, that is a huge upgrade.
I think they're a punt play. I brought them up on Tuesday, and Betts laughed at me.
Oh no!
And I laugh at him now. And
dude, the Jags just handled them on the road,
and that was super sad because we're pro Chargers. Love them for fantasy, but. Yeah, I think you could do it if you want to punt, if you want to go down. But, I mean, the Titans, 2.5, I think is better gotcha. Play right there. All right, before we get into the games we stack, let's take a quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now that one I do not remember at all. That's me.
I know it is.
Good riff, Mike. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and you usually are the one that's talking in the ad space. So,
am I really?
Sometimes you are.
Well, that's, yeah. Hey.
You learned something.
Look, I'm sure we have spectacular sponsors. So whatever I was talking about, highly recommend them.
All right, let's talk about the games we want to stack.
Stack Attack.
Were you a ZZ Top guy ever?
No.
Really?
Wasn't a Carrot Top guy either.
Well, okay. Take it easy over there. Comparing Carrot Top, I get that the joke is right there, Kai. You are very pleased with yourself.
I was pretty quick on the draw.
About your Carrot Top reference. That's too bad. ZZ Top is one of my faves.
I think it's a little, I mean, we're not that big of a difference in age, but I think it's just a little bit before my time.
Oh, they were before me, but I had a kind soul introduce me to ZZ Top.
Yeah, I just wasn't in my range, man.
All right. I know they're Texas boys, but I thought maybe you know the southern states.
They're basically all the South. They're all down
I'm
there.
I'm from the West Coast, man. We claim the ocean here.
That's true.
We're so far, but we claim it.
Let's talk about this first game. This is the one that if you're not excited about DFS, then you need to go home because it's the Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. They're both 2-1. DraftKings Sportsbook line is Buffalo -3, and the over-under is 51. Everything about this game you should like from a pace standpoint, from the Ravens can't play defense. And then I looked this stat up, Mike, and I know you're really happy because Lamar is leading.
Yeah, he is, brother.
We're jumping on his back right now for our team. But we're getting a fully evolved form of Lamar. I had a listener reach out to me and said, like, we're getting like Charmeleon right before he becomes Charizard. That's the way they said it.
Before?
Yes.
So we haven't hit the Charizard.
We're about to get Charizard.
Okay.
Because we're getting like 50 points a week and it's glorious. But Lamar's ADOT is rising. His percentage of 20 plus yard targets is rising. And he's actually not scrambling as much as he used to, like just taking off, but he's still getting the design runs. So you're getting a Lamar who's throwing down the field and not just scrambling and just running with his head cut off. He's destroying the blitz too.
Yes.
So Lamar, if you're stacking him this week, I know you have to pay up. Is it just as simple as I'm playing Lamar and Andrews and not trying to get too cute?
Probably. The Bateman at 5,600, DK 6,600 FanDuel. Bateman is a little scary to me for cash, dude, just because of his variance of at least so far through 3 weeks, he's just a big play. And if you don't get the big play, you're still going to end up with three catches, and that's going to be disappointing. So if I'm going T.D. hunting at the wide receiver position, I'd probably pay down for Duvernay. Are we still good with his injury? He's back all the way?
That's the last thing I've seen from Duvernay. And at 4,100, there is a huge price gap.
That's the way I would do it.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Lamar is we're getting him to pass at a rate that's higher than he's ever done before, and they're high-value targets. So those Bateman bombs, right, those are just deep bombs 2 weeks in a row. Duvernay scares me. He only has 8 targets on the year. But if you're playing in a GPP, if you want to do Jackson, Duvernay, and Mark Andrews, I think you can do that. I looked up this stat with Mark Andrews. He ranks 2nd in the NFL, only behind Cooper Kupp, in first read target share. So
that's nice.
In terms of first read, he's getting 40% of the targets. He's a wide receiver. Just think about him that way on DraftKings. At 7,100, that's too cheap. So if I am stacking there, I think it's really simple because Lamar runs. I'm probably just going to do Lamar and one other option. On the Buffalo side, if Davis is out, I mean, is it just going to be people just playing Diggs? Is that going to be too popular?
No, it's not too popular for me because we know what the ceiling is. The popularity does not matter when your ceiling is a 3-touchdown game.
True.
You're going to be the stupid one not at that party.
No, I want to figure out a way in this game because last week the key in the Buffalo game was if you just zeroed out everyone else and played Singletary. I can't do that again this week. It's just too thin of a play. You saw the targets last week because they were coming back, but still not the workload we want. I kind of like Dawson Knox as a sneaky target. He's done nothing so far.
Right.
But I think he is due. He hasn't even seen an end zone target, and that was kind of his MO the last couple years. So I like him in a GPP. I think people aren't going to play him.
3,800, which is 100 more than Mr. Njoku over on DK. It's a tough call.
If I'm stacking, then I'm okay. That's the only reason I would use Knox if I'm stacking Allen, if I'm double stacking. But I'm going to be playing so many Allen stacks, and I get that he's popular, but Baltimore doesn't rush the passer at all. They have no secondary. It's just really easy.
They're a great team. I like them a lot.
Buffalo?
No. The Baltimore Ravens. Because they are.
They're like, helping Lamar.
Lamar's out here just destroying people. And their defense is so bad that they just keep letting the other team back in the game, which means Lamar must continue his total annihilation. It's a good place to be in.
No, it's a great place, especially for a ceiling outcome. The total's at 51 right now. I think I would take the over. Do you have any other calls in this game?
No, I'm with you on Singletary. He is so difficult right now. To go from the end of last year was sensational when it was the Devin Singletary show. He balled out, was great for fantasy football. Week one and two, we immediately go back to 8 carry, 6 carry, no target him because we're trying to get Zach Moss on the field. Maybe this was the awakening for week three when they're like, we got to get Zach Moss off the field. This guy's just, he's not getting it done. We got to get the targets to Singletary. So perhaps it's the awakening, and then by next week, Devin Singletary's price is to a point where you don't want to go in.
Zach Moss, out of the league in 2 years?
Maybe. I mean, like, these guys hang around, but he is not what they thought he was. He is what we thought he was.
Is that a Dennis Green quote?
No. No, I'm not going. They are what we were.
Yes.
I was at that game.
Really?
Yeah. Live in person.
And so it was Cardinals. Who'd they?
Chicago Bears.
Oh. And it was bad. It was just bad.
Yeah. Because the Cardinals were up massive. And we, I was with my buddy, and we kept saying, okay. When the Bears, a big play. Like, as long as this doesn't happen, punt return. Okay. As long as there's not a defensive sack score. So, trust me, ladies and gentlemen, I know pain.
Hey.
I know pain.
Hey, I know pain too.
Yeah.
Falcons fans, Cardinals fans, we don't expect much, and that's okay.
No, we do not.
I think it's fine. We're going to talk about the Falcons in a second. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, surprisingly 2-1 at the Philadelphia Eagles. They're 3-0. This game has a 46 over-under, and Philadelphia is a 6.5-point home favorite. We get the Doug Peterson revenge game. Both offenses have looked really good.
Yep.
Philadelphia, I looked this up. They've gone 3 and out on just 6% of their drives. It's number one in the NFL. And then Jacksonville, it's surprising, but Trevor Lawrence only has 2 sacks in 3 games so far. So there's a lot to like here, but is Philly just going to roll?
Probably. I mean, this is a big game for our belief in Trevor Lawrence moving forward because he has looked quite good. Zay Jones he popped up on the injury report today, which is it's a big deal because I think Zay Jones is sneaky good and like really does help this offense more than the fantasy football community wants to give him credit for. But on the road, young quarterback, I think we're in for a bit of a struggle for the Jaguars, which Christian Kirk is still decent. I mean, at 6,600, Kirk passed the test last week for me against the Chargers.
Same for me.
I was concerned about him, not to the point of benching him or anything, but it was just I expect a lower output. But he managed to come through, so he would still be in play for me. But the big one, Kyle, you want to talk about my guy. Eazy-E.
We're talking about him.
Yeah, baby. Evan Engram. Last week wasn't the best, but if you're expecting the negative game script for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Eazy Engram is going to get it done. You want to talk about 5 catches for 30 yards? Engram's your guy.
If you're playing in those type of leagues, I mean, 3,400. All right. He's a PPR guy. Let's say he somehow gets in the end zone.
He almost did last week.
He just was allergic to it?
No, it was his second foot just barely didn't come down, and they called it a touchdown on the field, thought it was going to stand, but they overturned.
He never learned that part of the game?
Get both feet down?
Yeah.
No, well, we're working on the 2 hands on the ball right now.
He's taking a lot of strides there. I'll say this about the Jacksonville side, because last week I wrote them off. I didn't like that matchup for Christian Kirk. This week, I think it's easy to be able to say the Eagles are going to roll. In a large field tournament, I think if you double stack Trevor Lawrence, you could get massive leverage on people that are playing the other side. So think about it that way. I like betting on young quarterbacks where they start to have some momentum and then they go on the road and it's like, oh, they can't do this. I remember a couple years ago, Deshaun Watson went to Seattle and everyone just said, hey, he's not going to have a good game. And that was the game. He tore it open against Seattle. Paul Richardson was what somebody won $1 million with.
Oh man, I remember that guy.
I'll never forget that game because I was just like, oh, I'm totally betting it's Deshaun Watson. And of course he came through. So if you want to double stack Trevor Lawrence, I don't mind. I think James Robinson is a fine medium play.
Really? I'm out this week.
I can't see myself playing him in a tournament though. I can't see myself saying I'm going to get 25 points from my running back spot from James Robinson against the Eagles defense.
I I would rather play ETN.
That's same with me, but I felt crazy putting that in the dock. They haven't seen a negative game script the last 2 weeks. Maybe he gets more involved. He's technically been more efficient on a yards per touch basis.
Because of he's hitting, everything is a big play so far. Like week one, 22 of his 60. And look, I get it. You take if you take away everyone's big play, they're not good. I totally understand that. But it's for James Robinson. He is not a big play machine. That was that when he was dominating a couple years ago. That's not how he did it. He just was. He would give you chunk plays, and he got so much work and would wear the other off defense down that he would finally score. But 22 of his 66 yards in week one was the touchdown run. You had the 37-yard touchdown run. You had the 50-yard touchdown run this past week. And that, for a lot of people look at that and go, I'm betting on Robinson. I look at that and I'm very concerned, especially against the Eagles.
What about the running back on the other side? I think you were pretty bullish. I was bullish on Miles Sanders last
week.
That
was a disappointment.
I played him in GPPs as, okay, they're going to get up. They're going to run the ball. They did get up. And just nothing.
They ran the ball. It was just somehow Sanders couldn't do it against the Manders.
Nothing happened.
Ooh,
in that second
Sanders,
half.
Manders. We didn't factor in the rhyme.
There is a part of our analysis that I feel like we've overlooked for a while.
It's the Mother Goose effect.
We've tried to do that in the Boom Boom, and there's not much analysis there. Yeah, Miles Sanders. He got a ton of work though last week. Like he was the dude. And we like seeing that, but I think it's really hard.
I'm out on this one at 6,000.
Dang it.
Sorry.
So is it just the easy way to do this game is to say I want Hurts and at least one option. If it's A.J. Brown, we loved Devonta Smith last week, one of our better calls, or Dallas Goedert, just like a single stack with Hurts because he runs so much.
The wide receivers, yeah, I'm in on that. The question is, I'm trying to look back because last week was actually bad for Goddard. He finished in the top 10, but it was three catches for 26 yards, had a 23-yard touchdown reception. So that means that he had that and then, what, two catches for 3 yards?
Right.
The biggest problem for Dallas Goedert to me was always, how is Jalen Hurts going to get A.J. Brown going, get Devontae Smith going, and then still have enough for Dallas Goedert? I think that finally caught up to Dallas this past week. So I'm concerned about him giving you any high end. He's a fine floor play, but is that what we're doing for on this podcast? We're going for the floor?
We can do either. We can talk about either. But so you'd prefer
he's a floor play to me.
Hawkinson and, over Goddard.
Oh yeah.
Hawkinson's cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think the main argument what I heard you say is it's hard for him to compete each week with somebody like Mark Andrews on the slate who projects so well in the best game environment where this guy's competing with two or three other people.
Exactly.
All right, so you got any certain take on this game? I'm taking the Eagles minus 6.5.
Man, 6.5. I want to believe in the Jags. I do, but I'll take the Eagles to cover.
Yeah,
I'm a weenie.
I just think that Trevor Lawrence is going to see pressure and not going to be able to respond.
See if he folds.
All right, next game is Seattle Seahawks at the Detroit Lions. This game has dropped in total because we got a ton of injury news today, hearing about Amon-Ra, DeAndre Swift, DJ Chark. Detroit wants to run the ball. Like, as much as we like what they've done, their offense, they've scored the second most points in the league, as weird as that sounds. They want to run the ball. They've ranked 30th in neutral pass rate. So is this just going to be a Jay Willie fest?
Free Willy, as you might say, hold me like the River Jordan. That could be. It could be. But, I mean, yes. The problem is that Jay Willy has already performed very well and priced himself up, so he's not free. He's 6,100 over on DK.
He's not Free Willy.
No, and no, he's a moderately priced
Willy.
We're in dangerous territory right now. I think he gets a bump, especially in where the bump is receiving work. Like, Craig Robinson. Wait, oh crap.
The now, actor Craig Robinson?
Yeah.
Craig Reynolds.
Reynolds.
But I like Craig Robinson. He's a great actor.
He's really funny. I knew it, like, as it was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, that's wrong.
If Craig Robinson was out on the field, though.
Oh, that'd be a good time. So Reynolds, Jay Willie will take some of the receptions that Swift would have been given. I don't think those will go to Reynolds, but he'll still be a part-time player. Is that enough, being part-time, goal line plus receptions, to cover the 6,100?
Yeah.
Probably at
30 right now. I have him near 30% in our roster percentage report.
Okay.
So you're really not doing too much, because the way people are going to stack this game, I think, is they're just going to play Jamal Williams on one side in a tournament, and they're going to pick one of the receivers on the other side and just get out of here. I think that's the right way. I think if you want to gain leverage, you're saying I want Penny and somebody else on the Detroit side, if you want to correlate that way. I don't think this game is that complicated, because I don't want to play either of the quarterbacks.
I agree with that. Due to the injuries, Jared Goff was going to be really fun this week, and then his whole team decided they're taking a vacay this week.
That is the most anti-Guns Mahoney thing you could do, of just quit on your team,
yeah,
not tough it out.
Needs to share some of the Nugenics. Get that, pass that around in the locker room. Got him.
You did get me. Guns Mahoney, I revealed this on the podcast a long time ago, and the other day we were talking about it in the studio, what people are going to do for Halloween. I said 6 months ago, I want to be Guns Mahoney for
you
Halloween.
Need to start doing curls.
Well, I'm going to have a muscle suit on.
Oh, there. Okay. All right.
And a goatee, of course.
You have to. Oh, man. The goatee.
Emma's not going to like that.
No. And then you got to either make the choice, because Jason had this. He had to, whatever it was, he did the goatee. I can't remember which. Oh, Guy Fieri, maybe?
Yep.
And then you have to make the choice. Do you shave it all off?
I can pull off the all shave. I can do a clean look. I'm not saying I love it, but I can do it.
All right.
All right.
I'm excited for that. That's fun.
So you got to figure out your Halloween costume.
We do. We've started discussing it.
Some inner workings. So this game, I think, is simple. We like the wide receivers. I like Rashad Penny as a leverage point, but just pick one of those two and correlate with Jay Willie or TJ Hawkinson, I think, is fine. But I will actually take Seattle in the points.
Wow. Okay.
With all the injuries on the Detroit side.
Yeah. Four?
Yep.
Okay, you're taking four right now, because that may go down.
It was up earlier. It was like a 5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for that to drop to like three before I take before I give them up.
All right.
Maybe 2.5.
All right, last game here. Can't believe it's actually on our dock, but it's Cleveland Browns at my Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, your boys.
This game is weird, and we talked about it on the main show today, but like the line moved from 46 to bet up to 50, and now it's back down to 47.5. So it's moved a lot in the last couple of days. These teams want to run the ball. Like, it's not that complicated. I think the word you use is they're like a mirror of each other.
Yeah.
It's really pretty simple. You're playing one of the running backs here, so if you knew Patterson was going to play, are they going to be in the right game script? Because Patterson's weird. He's one of the weirdest players from just a historical standpoint in terms of his age, converted mm-hmm. wide receiver. And then he's just not getting the receiving work. So are you interested in Patterson?
I have been betting against him all year long. That makes me correct once and look very, very stupid two other times. So you have the 6,500 price point on DK for him versus 7,900 for Nicholas Chubb on the other side. 6,500 is not too bad for, what was he been like, the running back four?
Right.
Two or 3 weeks. And his, which metric is it? Like yards before contact? I don't know. One of those, like the rushing efficiency numbers, he's dominating. He's just absolutely crushing.
Yeah, Atlanta's O-line, weirdly enough, I think this correlates with the stat you were just saying, number one in adjusted line yards. They don't have a good offensive line, but it's worked. The scheme's worked. They're doing a lot of play action. So I think Cordell Patterson, if he's healthy, I think he's a fine play.
That's a big question, though.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are both awesome plays in this matchup against Atlanta, who's allowing the highest expected points per rush attempt in the league. I think Hunt is an interesting GPP play, especially on FanDuel at 6,100, where he's a value. So those running backs, play them. They're awesome. They're going to run the ball a ton. If you're correlating with somebody on the other side, is it just as simple as Drake London, our boy? On FanDuel, I have him projected as one of the most popular plays on the slate.
Yeah, because he's awesome. Because Drake London is the man. We're 3 weeks in and it's done. He's the man. I love him.
33% target share at 6,300. I feel like that's not priced up enough for what he is to this offense. And as much as I hate to say it, like, Kyle Pitts is really hard to trust other than if you want to throw him in GPP and gain some leverage over David Njoku, who's going to be more popular in cash.
The price disparity between London and Amari Cooper on FanDuel is very interesting. I mean, you have a $200 difference between the two on DraftKings. That's more what I would expect.
Right.
But $7,500 for Cooper versus $6,300 on FanDuel? Whew.
Every week we kind of throw out some FanDuel prices that are a little all over the map, and they really price up certain people on big matchups in primetime. So you saw that last week, Amari Cooper, really what, two good weeks in a row after a dud in week one?
Great weeks, though.
Yeah.
Like, Amari Cooper, my official stance on Amari Cooper was just, I don't know and I don't care. I think I expressed that on the podcast. Like, is he a wide receiver one? Maybe. Yeah, that could happen. I don't know. I didn't want him. And my hands-off approach, but the laissez-faire with Amari Cooper is bite me in the butt.
That's your official stance?
Yes. Yeah. Was wrong about Amari Cooper.
Which game do you like better if you're going to stack or correlate? Do you like this game, Cleveland and Atlanta, or do you like Detroit and Seattle better?
I will go with this one. I'll go with the studs from the Cleveland Browns Falcons.
All right. Give me your Vegas pick on this one.
All right. So we got Cleveland is favored by 1.5. I will take the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow. Well,
to win.
I have a very clear rule. It's called a happiness hedge. That's the way that Betts calls it.
Okay.
So I will take.
Do tell.
I will take the Browns minus the points because if the Falcons lose, then I go, hey, my bet was fine. I knew it. But then if we win, I will be very happy that my team won.
See, the way that I look at that, so that's fence sitting, which is fine. But the way I've always tried to explain it to people is if you're sitting on a fence.
Painful.
That means, like, imagine a picket fence going right in the crack. I mean, you do, that's not good for anybody. I mean, you'd rather be on the wrong side of the fence than getting, you know, split right up the middle by a white picket fence.
I've been in the ditch for a long time with this team, though. I've just been on the side of the road, run over.
I'm not in any yard. I am roadkill that was shoveled into the gutter.
It's not a great place, but I love our team, and I love the Drake. I love Drake London.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty excited he's on our team. But let's talk about some props we like.
Prop it like it's hot.
In the DFS Pass, each week we get to give some props that we like that we think you can be profitable on. So you can go to the DFSPass.com if you want to be a part of that. We have one in here that in the office we were kind of pretty bullish on it, and it's one of your boys. So why don't you go first?
Evan McPherson over 1.5. No.
By the time people listen to this, though,
then they will know.
Then they'll.
You guys have to have talked about that, right?
Oh, that was the pick on the podcast last year during the Super Bowl that we said. If this goes south, our company is done. If we're done, just completely over.
I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about every week.
I haven't mentioned that yet. You can.
Okay.
You can,
yeah, I mean, every week, ladies and gentlemen, this entire office has rode with Evan McPherson going over his 1.5. And they're just giving us money.
It's 10 straight, right?
I don't know what it is. I mean, we're undefeated this year because Zach Taylor is a bit of a baby.
A coward.
Yeah, a little bit of a coward. He will kick. Any chance he gets to kick a field goal, he's going to take it. And McPherson's great. So that's kind of just an every week. But the other one you were referring to is Cortland Sutton. The over when we were looking was 66, or it was the line was 66.5. Is it still there?
It's moved up a little bit.
So it's like 67, 68. I don't know. But here's the thing. The lowest yardage of the year for Cortland Sutton, 72. He's averaging 97 yards. The guy is just absorbing 30%+ of the targets. He is clearly Russell Wilson's guy, and the matchup with the Las Vegas Raiders is one for success for wide receivers.
I have a fun one. This is one of the weekly specials that DraftKings does, and it's Lamar Jackson plus Josh Allen combined.
Okay.
Do they combine for more than 500 passing yards, 100 rushing yards, and at least one rushing score combined?
Okay, you only need one? You don't need both to hit it?
You need one.
That's I could be talked into that.
Plus 190.
Like Lamar Jackson himself will probably take care of, what, 80% of this?
I think the hardest part is the rushing touchdown, just because if it goes somewhere else. But I think both of these, if we're going to bet on somebody from these teams, like I'm going to bet on Josh Allen over Devin Singletary. I'm going to bet on Lamar Jackson over J.K. Dobbins. But it was at plus 190 when I looked at it last, and I think combined it's a really good line, and it's a game that we want to root for, so that's what I'm going for. Josh Allen plus Lamar Jackson combined. You can get that on DraftKingsSportsbook.com. But, Mike, I don't think you've ever done this before, and you might be a bit disappointed.
Well, why'd you set it up that way?
Because our mailbag drop is not the same as yours.
Oh.
Mailbag.
I know.
That's fine.
It's from an old live stream. I don't know if you know where we got that from.
No, I don't.
This was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We used to use
that. Wait. Okay. Wait.
We used to use it. It was a live stream mailbag drop that we used to use a couple of times.
I don't remember.
And then we've kind of pushed it over here.
When you've done like 2,000 plus podcasts or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of my voice out there.
We're at almost episode 1,300.
Yeah, of the main show.
Yeah.
And Spitballers, the first couple years of DFS, I mean, it's a lot. There's way too much Mike Wright in the world.
Are you at the 10,000 hour mark?
Does that mean I'm an expert then?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
It's the Gladwell.
I mean, I got to be, no, probably not 10,000 hours.
You're going to get there, though.
Yes, we will.
It's kind of a big deal. All right, we're going to take some mailbag questions. Feel free to message me at Kyle_Borg or at the Fantasy PT. But the best place to get your questions answered is in our Discord channel. If you want to go to jointhefoot.com.
Oh, get in there.
I mean,
it's fun.
It's popping. I would say the DFS and the props channel, there's always people that are talking nonstop, that are giving different things. And someone that actually shared their parlay. Do you remember this parlay they saw?
Tell.
They put in a parlay, $25. I think it was $25. And the Cleveland game last week, they ended up winning $25,000.
Holy shnikes.
I know.
What?
Yep.
Good for you.
They didn't share that info with us before, though.
Did they share any of that quiche?
No, but they probably should. I feel like they owe us.
Just like at least a ham sandwich or something.
Oh, I was going to say 25%. You can take the ham. I will take the 25%. All right. First question here is from Dob88 on Discord. Newer DFS player here. What is your favorite platform? And do you use different platforms for cash, GPPs, multi-entry? Mike, you mostly play on DraftKings.
I'm a DraftKings fella.
Yeah. Is it mostly just use the format, use it for the show?
Yep. Yeah. They've been a great sponsor for the show. So, I mean, but love them. Like, I actually like the product. And so I like being consolidated. And DraftKings won me over.
Yeah, I mean, I play on both, and I obviously give content for both. I find that DraftKings is more conducive to a lot of conversations that Betts and I have. I think that more players play there. But on FanDuel, I will say FanDuel Sportsbook has some great stuff too. Their TD scores stuff is awesome on FanDuel. If you want to do TD scores for games, I like that. But in terms of, we talk a lot about what games, Betts and I are cash players first, and we like to teach people that's how you can play the game. So when we're talking cash, we're talking double ups. We set up our own head-to-heads. We have our own tournaments, which we always talk about at ballersdfs.com. But please, do not light your money on fire and join these giant contests if you're first starting. Like, do some smaller tournaments.
Right.
So next question from Dragon9. I noticed in y'all's lineups that you've posted, you've used wide receiver in the flex for cash, but running back in week 2. Was that a product of the slate, or is wide receiver in the flex for cash becoming more optimal? I'll start with this, and maybe you can add, Mike. Running back scoring is just in the pooper this year.
That's where I was going to go. The running backs have sucked.
So I think people feel it more this year that if you've tried to do in cash 3 running backs, that's kind of what we used to preach a lot, is get that volume, get the touches. That's what you want. But there's just been some awesome plays where I wanted to play, you know, Jalen Waddle. I wanted to play these guys in my flex because they're showing up better at like 6,500 than a lot of running backs. So is that kind of where you're at? It's like
100%.
There's wide receivers there. So I would say it's slate dependent. It kind of depends on what you have there. So this week, I'm probably going to have 2 cheap running backs, Herbert Jamal Williams, and then I might just add another wide receiver in the flex because it's easier. Next question from Hypnotoad. Do you miss...
Were you a Futurama guy?
No.
No, just a little bit too old for you?
I never interested me.
You should give it a chance.
Is that what this reference is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've interacted with Hypnotoad on Discord before, so I recognize the name.
Hypnotoad is... The reference is, it's like they'll be watching TV, and then the Hypnotoad will come on, and it's a toad, and there's this and then everyone's hypnotized, and you've got to do what the Hypnotoad says.
So you just won this person over from the reference.
Oh, I hope so.
He says, do you miss being able to go outside in the summertime?
That's a good question for Kyle, because this is all I've ever known.
I feel like I'm learning. I'm learning what not to do.
Do you have a pool?
I do.
Okay. So you can go outside.
Yes. I feel like I've learned what I can do. I can't last that long outside, though. That's the frustrating part is
sure.
There are no kids playing outside at 2 in the afternoon.
That is correct. It's a little bit more difficult. You probably, back where you grew up, it was more common. You will see that more as it finally starts cooling down. What are we in? We're almost in October, so, you know, just a couple more months, Kyle. Just hold out. It's coming.
Was it like this for you as a kid, though? The same way that you're, you know, with your kids, like, hey, we only go outside at certain times.
Not really. We played out. Like, my cousin, who was my best friend growing up, he was on a cul-de-sac. We were always outside. Just outside. I mean, you're drinking out of the hose. And I mean, just the normal stuff that people did back then.
Yeah, I will say I've definitely gotten used to what I can and can't do. But I think the biggest thing for us, we've just been playing pickleball inside.
That's right.
That's the main thing.
You got to, what is it, the innovation or the mother of, I'm botching this quote. Necessity is the mother.
Plato.
Yes.
I believe was it Aristotle. Jason brought this up.
See, I know it because of Frank Zappa.
Necessity is the mother
of all invention. There it is. I couldn't find the verbiage.
Yes, it was Plato. No. Yes, it was Plato. All right. Okay. Well, now we're getting really philosophical here. If you want to play with us, you can go to ballersdfs.com, be a part of our DK Listener League. Mike gets to jump in on those contests too. Our DraftKings League, Fantasy Footballers DFS, Borg plus Bets. We have a 600-person contest this week, including another contest I open known as the Dollar Menu Contest of the Week. It's the gross one.
Oh, the Dollar Menu.
I basically, every week, I want to give somebody a contest that if they went to a McDonald's and they said, oh, this is all I got is a dollar.
Right.
I want it to be the grossest thing possible. So this week, I chose the Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers in a showdown game, a dollar. People can do that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Breece Hall, captain.
I would love that. He's your start of the week, right?
Yep. I'm very excited to see what happens here.
I just traded for him in a league, so I'm feeling pretty good. But you can go to ballersdfs.com. It's a great contest if you want to play with your friends. But Mike, thank you for coming on this podcast.
You're welcome, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
An OG, someone that created this thing. But why don't you tell us goodbye?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next time on the Fantasy Footballers DFS podcast. Thank you for joining us. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.